Over the next 2 weeks, we are going to wrap up this series we've been involved in here for the past few months. For some of you, it may seem like the Lonesome Dove is just never going to end. But we're close. About two more weeks and we will be through with this series. This past weekend, I was watching a movie and there was a quote there in the middle of the movie that really sums up what I want to share these next 2 weeks. We've looked at Egypt, we've looked at Babylon, we've looked at Rome, we've looked at Israel at the height of their power with Solomon. Over these next 2 weeks, we're going to look at us. We're going to be looking at America. In this quote that I heard in this movie, it really captures what we have to be careful of. Comfort is the enemy of progress. And I'm not talking about physical progress. I'm talking about spiritual progress. If we get too comfortable in this life, if we get too comfortable in this great nation that we live in, what will happen to the gospel? Will it continue to spread? Will Jesus' name continue to be mentioned? Or will we become so comfortable here that we see no need to talk about Christ, to talk about the gospel? It wasn't long after Israel left Egypt that they wanted to go back. Now, why in the world would they want to go back? Why would they want to go back to slavery? Because in their minds, they actually had it better in Egypt than they did out there in that wilderness. In their minds, it was more comfortable in Egypt than it was wandering out here in this wilderness. So they wanted to go back. Isn't that always the temptation we face? To want to go back? Look at Exodus 14, 11, and 12. They said to Moses, these are the Israelites, the same group that's been rescued, freed from slavery. Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Sometimes it's probably more appropriate to just say thank you. That's not what they said. Why did you rescue us? Why did you free us? Why didn't you just leave us there? We were better there. Basically what they're saying to Moses is this. We were more comfortable in Egypt. Aren't these the same people that were rescued? Aren't these the same people that were slaves? Aren't these the same people who were making brick after brick after brick, building the Egyptian empire? Aren't these the same people that cried out for help, for deliverance? God, help us. God, rescue us. They were in a horrible place in Egypt. And after they were freed, just a short time later, they wanted to go back. Moses is probably thinking, what have I gotten myself into? How am I going to deal with these people? You think dealing with a teenager is tough? Try being Moses. Millions of people grumbling and complaining, wanting to go back, wanting that life of comfort. We are often tempted to go back. We're tempted to go back and repeat the mistakes of the past. We're tempted to want to go back to the world and all of the sin, all of that enticement that Satan throws at us. And even Jesus' apostles struggled with this. In Acts 1 verse 6, they're all here together and they were asking Jesus saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? The apostles had audience with the resurrected Lord. Now keep in mind what's taking place. Jesus has been killed at Calvary. His body's been placed in a tomb. And now he's alive again. That would get your attention. And here the apostles had audience with the resurrected Savior. They were talking to him. Had opportunity to ask him any question that was on their mind. Any thought that they had. They could express it right here to Jesus, the resurrected Lord. And this is what they ask. This was their moment. This was their opportunity. Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. This is their last chance to have this moment with him while he's alive on earth. You can ask him anything. What would you ask? This is what they came up with. Lord, Is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you finally going to do it? We've been waiting on this for years. We've been with you. We've followed you. We've given up so many things. This is what we've been waiting on. This is what we've been anticipating. This moment in time when you restore the physical kingdom to Israel. Is it finally here? Are you really going to do it? That resurrection thing, it sure was awesome. But let's get back to the most important matter. When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to do it now? Jesus has been telling the disciples about the kingdom of God. He's been teaching them about God's kingdom. And here they are stuck in the past. Here they are going backwards. You see, it's always tempting to want to go back. Jesus has explained the realm of the kingdom, the reality of the kingdom. He's taught them the way in which the weak are put first, and the widow and the orphan and the refugees are remembered. He showed them how the kingdom would uphold justice and righteousness, just as the Queen of Sheba mentioned to Solomon. But they're still not interested in that kingdom. The disciples are talking about a different kind of kingdom, a physical kingdom. Their question is about the kingdom that Solomon ruled over. They want to know if the old kingdom is coming back. Is Israel finally going to be raised up, elevated to this place of dominance once again? Are we finally going to get rid of these Romans? Are we finally going to expel them out of Jerusalem? Is that finally going to happen? Lord, we're so tired of carrying all of these burdens, of serving Rome, of trying to do what they ask us to do. Are you finally going to take care of that? We want that kingdom that has the horses, that has the military, that has the power. Are you going to restore that kingdom to us? Their question is essentially this. Jesus, are you going to pick up the sword and start swinging it? Because that's what we've been waiting on. Are you going to purge our land of the Roman Empire so that we can have our privileged status as God's people back? They still don't get it. This shows us how big this temptation is to want to go back to the past. They had been with Jesus for years now. And not only had they been with him through the teachings, through the miracles, they knew what took place in Jerusalem. They knew what happened. Here they are looking at the one who hung on that tree, whose arms and legs were pierced through, nailed to that cross. Here they are speaking to him alive again, and they're still concerned about the past, about the past glory of Israel. They still don't get it. They want to take their nation back for Jesus. Or rather, they want Jesus to take it back for them. They want to return to the old regime of their founding fathers. They want a renewed empire with their ideology on the throne. They want to go back to Egypt, at least back to when they were the Egypt of the world. They're still holding on to the distorted hope that Jesus is going to reconstruct the same old broken system, that he's just going to build another world empire. Only this time they'll be the ones calling the shots. This time they'll be in the position of Egypt. They'll be in the position of Rome. They'll get to hold the prime cabinet spots. So here's their question. They're speaking with Jesus just before he ascends back to heaven. We can only imagine what's going through Jesus' mind. Are you kidding? That's the question you're going to ask? Here you have opportunity to ask me anything. You have opportunity to say anything to me. And this is what you're still stuck on. How would Jesus respond? Well, this is what he says. It is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. There's just some things you guys don't need to know about. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You need to know that. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Jesus invites them to participate in a reality so liberating, so compelling, that Jerusalem won't be able to contain it. And the disciples can't fathom something that's this new, this big, this transcendent. Jesus, he urges them to consider something for everybody. To look beyond their own person. To look beyond their own nation. And look at other people. This is bigger than Egypt. What Jesus is talking about is bigger than Jerusalem, bigger than Babylon, bigger than Rome. It's bigger than Moses, bigger than David, bigger than Solomon. Their question is about what the future will look like for them. Isn't that what we're concerned about? I wonder what the future holds for me. I wonder what the days lie ahead are going to be like. I wonder if I'm going to be able to make it to retirement. I wonder if I'm going to be able to put my kids through college. I wonder all of these things about the future. Isn't that what we're concerned about? When we look out into the future and we think about things that are going to happen, typically our thoughts are on ourselves. And that's where the apostles were. They're looking out into the future and they want to know what their reality is going to be. What is our future going to look like, Jesus? Because this is what we want. We want Israel to be the Egypt. We want Israel to be the Rome. They're still more concerned about their kingdom than they are God's kingdom. I wonder how many people here in this room today that describes. What are we more concerned with? Our kingdom or God's kingdom? Do you remember the central promise that God made to Abram way back in Genesis 12? Back in Genesis 12, God calls Abram to follow him, to go to this distant land. He tells him that he's going to give him land and that he's going to make him a great nation. Israel has lived through those promises. Those were two of the three. But there was a promise that was bigger than these, bigger than the promised land of Canaan, bigger than becoming a great nation. There was something else that was even bigger, better than this. Do you remember what it was? God also promised Abram this. I will bless you. Not only will I give you this land, not only will I make you a great nation, and that's happened. We looked at that. We saw it. But there's something else, Abram. I will bless you and I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. Now listen to this. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That is the big promise. That is the promise that was fulfilled when Jesus died at Calvary. It's always about wealth, health, possessions, and influence being used to bless others. But the disciples at this point in their life, they're not interested in all the families of the earth. That's not where their concern is. They're not concerned about all the families in Rome, I promise you that. They're not concerned about the families in Egypt. They're not concerned about the families of Babylon, the families of Assyria, all of these nations that have oppressed them in the past. They have absolutely no concern whatsoever for those families. All they are concerned about is self. I'm concerned about my family. I'm concerned about my status, my position. Their interest, at its biggest and widest, was Jewish families. And this question revealed their interest. They're interested in regaining the kingdom of comfort they once had. Comfort is the enemy of progress. They long for the blessing of God for themselves, not for others. Deep in their bones is their belief that they are God's favorites. For them, blessing, it's all about favoritism. We are chosen. We are the elect. We are the favorites. Therefore, we deserve the comfort. We deserve the power. They're still trapped in the entitlement of the old covenant religion. Look again at how Jesus responds to their question. They were concerned about self. Jesus was concerned about the world. And we see the apostles struggling with this mission from Christ to take the gospel outside of Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to all parts of the earth. The apostles struggled with this. It's just a few chapters later, we reach Acts chapter 8. What had to happen? What took place for the gospel to finally spread past Jerusalem? Do you remember? Now, way back here in Acts chapter 1, God tells His apostles, this is what you need to be focused on. Don't worry about the kingdom being restored to Israel physically. What you need to be concerned about is taking the spiritual kingdom to all people. Take it to all places of the world. What had to happen for that to finally take place? Well, here it is. On that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered. Now, where were they scattered? Throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. It's hard to leave the past behind, isn't it? This is what it took to finally get the gospel out of Jerusalem the way Jesus wanted. Luke writes that beginning with the death of Stephen, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. It took a great persecution to wake them up. It took a great persecution to finally get them to realize, hey, the gospel's got to go beyond this city. It took Saul breathing murderous threats against the church, against Christians, for the gospel to finally make it out of Jerusalem. Isn't this what Jesus wanted all along? He didn't want them to have some life of physical comfort. That was not His goal. That was not His hope for them. His goal, His hope, was that all people could hear about Christ. So that all people could hear about Him. Sometimes it takes a little pain to get us to do the right thing. One of the big temptations we face in this life is becoming too comfortable. The apostles, they were comfortable in Jerusalem. They were comfortable reaching out to their own. It was easy for them to talk to other Jews. Going through Judea, that's more difficult. Going to Samaria, that's unheard of. Do you remember how much Peter wrestled with God sending of him to Cornelius? Can you recall what Peter said to him when he made it to his house? Peter is directed by God to go to Cornelius, and he is just struggling. He doesn't want to go. You know, I think about the week that's in front of me, and there's just some things I don't want to do. I don't want to go there. Can I get out of this? And that was Peter. Peter's thinking to himself, how can I get out of this? I don't want to go to the house of a Gentile. And he finally gets there, and this is what Peter says to them. You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or to visit him. And yet God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. Talk about a summary of how Peter felt. Cornelius, I shouldn't be here. Why did Peter feel that way? Because he was living in the past. How difficult was it for the gospel to spread beyond Jerusalem? Oh, I'd say about as hard as it is for us to talk to our neighbors about Jesus today. How difficult was it for the gospel to spread to Samaria? Oh, I say it's about as hard as it is for us to talk to our family about Jesus today. How difficult was it for Peter to go to the house of a Gentile? Probably about as hard as it is for us to talk to a friend about our Savior. But you know what? He did it. Peter actually did it. He actually went to the house of a Gentile. Now, it took a lot of pushing from God to get it done. Peter had to get out of his comfort zone to actually go and do this. But don't miss this. because this is so huge for us, because I know it's difficult for us to talk to our friends. I know it's challenging for us to talk to family. I know it's so excruciating at times to just mention the name of Jesus to others. But when we look in the Bible, we look at Acts, we see people who did it. They actually did it. What we struggle with and wrestle with so much, we see people who did it. Because the gospel, it did go beyond Jerusalem. The gospel, it did go beyond Judea. The gospel, it went beyond to the remotest corners of the earth. And it was all kick-started by a great persecution against the church. Makes you think, doesn't it? What's it going to take to get us out of our comfort zone? Don't get too comfortable here. Don't get too comfortable living within the confines of the world's greatest empire. You think Egypt was powerful? You think Israel was powerful under the reign of Solomon? You think Assyria and Babylon were powerful? You think first century Rome was powerful? This world has never seen anything like America. Like the country that you and I are living in. We are Egypt of old. We are Israel under Solomon's reign. We are Babylon. We are first century Rome. And we are all of these places magnified time and time and time over. And the temptation is this: to get too comfortable, to think we deserve it, to think we're entitled to it. This world is not our home. This world does not provide us direction or comfort or purpose or hope. Jesus is our hope. Read these words again, as if Jesus was right in front of us, sharing them with us in person. Look at these words again, envisioning Jesus right here in front of us. It is not for you to know times or epochs, which the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. The mission hasn't changed. The work hasn't changed. It's not about our personal kingdom. It's not about building up the American kingdom. It's about God's kingdom. Comfort is the enemy of progress. This morning, as you look at your life, what matters? Is it yourself? Is it your own stuff? Or is it God's kingdom? Through Jesus Christ, we have an opportunity to be part of a kingdom that will last forever. A kingdom that will reign throughout all eternity. God's kingdom. And we can become a part of that kingdom by being baptized into Christ. We want to give you that opportunity. We also want to give you the chance to reprioritize your life. Because it's real easy to get comfortable. So comfortable that we quit doing anything for God. If we can help you in any way, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this morning.